Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert. And listeners, you're probably wondering, why does Albert have a third episode this week? There's nothing special happening. But there is something going on in the gaming industry right now, in the gaming world. And if you remember the last conversation I had with Jaming, Anna, and Ruti about gaming, it was a shit show. So, it was a little frustrating. So instead, I got here Tyler from Most Extreme Ranking Challenge. Hey, Tyler.
Howdy doody.
Hey. Listeners, if you didn't know, Tyler is the reason why this podcast even exists. So thank him as well.
No, you're the reason why I even got into podcasting. What are you talking about?
Can't be
about?
Right. You had the podcast before I did.
Did I? I thought like it was like a week or something, which is like, no. We inspired each other because you sparked the podcast thing into my head.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So essentially, we are going to be talking about Xbox and what happened this week.
Yeah.
It probably would have been about Helldivers 2, but that's already done and over with. So yeah, Xbox. Xbox recently laid off and also shut down several of their studios from the Bethesda brand. Arkane Austin, Tango Works, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse. And a lot of the talk is around Tango Game Works, and primarily because of Hi-Fi Rush, right? The thing about Tango Game Works, though, Hi-Fi Rush, Evil Within 1 and 2, as well as Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yes.
Critical darlings. Gamers generally like those games and all that stuff. But
I love the Evil Within. I love those two games, and I was really hoping for a third one. So it's heartbreaking.
But here's the thing, though. Those games never really sold.
I feel like the first one was a huge deal when it first came out on, that would have been the Xbox 3. Was that 360?
I think it was
PS4.
Yeah, PS4, Xbox One era.
Yeah.
I think people talked about them, but no different than people who were talking about Hi-Fi Rush. People love Hi-Fi Rush.
Yes.
Everybody said how much they love Hi-Fi Rush. But if you look at the numbers...
I have plenty of friends who are playing Hi-Fi Rush and absolutely loved it. And I still think are playing.
But if you look at the numbers, they claim that Hi-Fi Rush has about 2 to 3 million people playing it.
Yeah.
In today's industry, that's not enough. You hear Square Enix complain about those kind of numbers, and they want more, right?
And the game was, if I remember correctly, wasn't it free or something?
It's free with Game Pass. It's only if you don't buy it. That's the thing, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this, but even though you can play games for free in Game Pass, it gives you the option to buy it on a discounted price because of your Game Pass. So if you really, really love the company, you would buy it. But being that gamers, you know, we money pinch a lot as well. Usually we don't do that, right? And maybe that didn't help. Okay?
Yeah.
So before I go on with this, I want to hear your thoughts about this because you just recently looked up the articles and whatnot. Go ahead.
No, I mean, the Tango Gameworks is, like, again, four games. I never played Ghostwire Tokyo, but I have watched Let's Plays of it and had a blast, watching it. And I didn't get to play Hi-Fi Rush, but I did get to hang out in Discord with friends who did, you know, stream it and, you know, play through it. So, and it looked like so much fun. I personally don't have too much time to be able to play games. Mm-hmm. I pretty much solely play Pokemon and Hitman, and that's it. I haven't really touched anything else since then. We're too busy. I'm busy with doing programming for Anime Riverside, most of your making talent stuff, life stuff, and day jobs. So it's really hard for me to get any games in. But I do love Evil Within 2, and again, I did love my time watching creators play Ghostwire Tokyo. And my friends streaming it and watching them play Hi-Fi Rush and also getting to make some decisions. I feel like I kind of played it with them, but just didn't actually hold a controller or a keyboard for it. But we would just talk and joke around and watch and play it live and tell them what to do and stuff like that. And it's a blast. It's so much fun. And so that one sucks.
Yeah.
A lot. Arkane Austin, you have Deathloop, who actually have a couple of friends who are in the game. I've heard nothing but great things about
Austin. Deathloop. Or was it Leon?
I mean,
Arkane has different studios.
That's true. I'm looking at their website. So whatever Blade is,
I believe Arkane Austin. Oh, that's Leon. That's Arkane. That's Arkane Leon. Arkane Austin, I believe, is known for Prey, Dishonored, and the much aligned, maligned Redfall.
I know there's so much Dishonored. Yeah. I know that there are multiple Prey.
Yeah. Well, once again, franchises critically adored didn't sell that well. They're just modest sales. Modest sales.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who played Dishonored. I'm not going to lie.
No, I know a lot of people who played Dishonored. They love that game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, but that's the mean, though. You yourself don't know anybody that played it, but you've heard of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the game industry, we hear about these games, but it doesn't necessarily mean we played it or paid for it. You know, that's the thing about that.
The first games, like, cover is, like, permanently in my head. Like, when I saw it, I was like, yep.
In general, it sucks when publishers shut down studios, which has been happening a lot in the past several years now. This year alone, there were so many firings and lays off in the gaming industry. It's sad. And a lot of it has to do with...
Last year, it hit a record on layoffs in the video game industry, and this year, it's just not looking any better.
Oh, yeah. And we still got the rest of the year to go, and I bet you there's going to be more studios going to get shut down.
Oh, yeah, and wait until holidays too. It's gonna be pretty horrendous. It's really hard to be pro video games right now, in all honesty.
I agree. A lot of people are predicting that there's gonna be another video game crash like we saw in the 80s. I don't think that's quite entirely true. The difference
we've
here,
Switch 2 coming out, there's too much to look forward to right now. Even though things are really terrible, there's just so many things to look forward to that is actually, like, kind of hard. That it's going to kind of balance all out a little bit.
I think the main difference between this industry as it is right now in 2024 as compared to 1984, where it was around the crash area. Back then, it was just cartridges. And the thing was that there were, like, the problem we have now, there were too many games. Not only were there too many games, but there were too many crap games back then as well. People could argue that that's the same case today too, but whatever. So essentially,
I mean, I feel like what was it? The Wii years was like king of having crap, like too many games. Like, I feel like if we got over that, like, I think we can get over everything. But I also think that the thing is now is that there's also so many different consoles, so many different things. You have PC, Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation. If one thing is bothering you, you just go to the next thing. But, and I don't think that 1984 had the exact same.
Oh,
weight.
No, they had a lot. If you look at the history books and gaming, there was a lot of consoles. It wasn't just Atari.
That's true. It wasn't just Atari. Absolutely.
Yeah. So essentially what ended up happening is you got all these studios that made all this game on the cheap, essentially, and they had too much inventory of games that nobody was buying. Which pretty much closed down a lot of studios because they have all this product and nobody's buying it anymore. So they went away. So many studios went away in the mid-80s, and that caused the crash until Nintendo came along.
And that's the difference, though, because now we have digital libraries, which I don't think it really matters as much, especially since so much of it is now they're really trying to get rid of physical copies, which hopefully will never die. Please buy physical, for the love of God. With everything that's happening, everything that happened last week with the whole Sony update. Yeah. Oh my God, different discussion. But I do think again, we're not going to have a crash. Yes, there might be too many games. Yes, there might be too many studios. But the problem is that Steam, Steam, Epic Store, all that other stuff. At least on PC sales, are always going to be fine because there's always. I have so many crap games that I don't even remember buying in my Steam list. And, like, just knowing that I gave, like, $4 to a guy who made a game that's called a horror game called My Bones that I'm looking at. You know, that's $4 that he made that probably spent, like, $50 to make his game. But, like, that, and that's just, like, an indie game like that. And you have also, like, Twitch streamers, you have YouTubers now that can also push out games and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I have bought so many worthless games because Oni plays them that just sit in my Steam library. And so I think that that's also a massive difference of also with, like, content creators pushing things. Digital library, people just spending money because they're not really thinking about what they're buying anymore, as opposed to going to a store, holding it, be like, do I really need this? Will this game look? I mean, no, it's a lot easier just to kind of, like, scroll through something and click on it and then just buy it. And you'd be like, what did I just do? Oh, well, No, I'll just be careful next time.
In that regards, that's why I also don't think there's going to be a crash again, because there's so many indie developers out there that's more than willing to make games on the cheap, and that will keep things afloat. Steam exists. Yeah. There's always games on Steam. The only crash that I ever see really happening are the so-called AAA games.
Yeah.
Because those things are expensive as hell to make. Not only are they so expensive, but nowadays it takes at least 5 years to make one of those. And that's like half of a console's lifespan.
I mean, how long have we been waiting for Elder Scrolls 6? Yeah. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Resident Evil is releasing a game next year? I think it was either this year or next year, Resident Evil 9. And supposedly, they took them over 8 years to have made that. 8 years, right?
I hear that. I don't believe it ever. I never believe it. But, you know, yeah. I mean, Resident Evil 8 is like, what, 3 years old, if
right.
that?
No, but the thing is, though, they do parallel. They make games in the parallel, right? So basically, while they're making one game, they're also making another game.
Eight years. That was two consoles ago, though. Like, that's such, like, I was saying, like, 8 years. Because, like, they could say the same thing about Kingdom Hearts 3, but we all know that it literally took them 3 years to make. Like, that's fair. Took us 14 years. That's like, fair. No, it didn't.
No, that's
you use,
fair.
What? Yeah. You use Unreal Engine that's only, like, three years old. What are you talking about? Like, or, like, that Unreal Engine is so... Oh, so annoying. Yeah. Sorry, that's I apologize. Fair. A little bit of pet peeve.
A lot of people are saying that Fallout 5 isn't being made, and I beg to differ. I know Bethesda is working on Starfield expansions as well as Elder Scrolls 6. Is it 6 coming up?
Yeah.
They're still working on that. Elder Scrolls 6 is still years down the line, but I really think they're already in the pre-planning stages for Fallout 5. It just we won't see that for...
2027 for Elder Scrolls 6.
Oh, there you go. So they still got...
Yeah,
so... 3 years
we'll have 18 more editions of Skyrim before we see 6.
Yeah, so my guess is Fallout 5 won't be out till 2030, the earliest, right?
No, I have a feeling that with the show, I think we're going to have a little bit of a surprise about Fallout. I know that Fallout 4 is going well and 76 is doing much better. But I think something's happening. I really do think that there's another Fallout coming out, because especially with the massive success of the show, I can't imagine Xbox being like, you know what, take your time. No, I think they're going to be like, you know what, let's get it out. Get it out while people are talking.
So I'm glad you mentioned Fallout, because a lot of what I have to say about this whole thing revolves around Fallout. The current Fallout situation, where the TV show is a success, Fallout games from years ago are selling more on the PlayStation Store than Sony's actual exclusives, right? Like, there's a whole resurgence with Fallout, and people are willing to go play games that were made like 15 years ago just to get their Fallout fix, right? So Xbox, for the past, I will say around 2017-ish, where Phil Spencer finally really took over the Xbox division and was essentially... playing it safe in terms of like trying to deal with upcoming Game Pass stuff, having all these new devs that are going under the Xbox brand. And Phil Spencer under Xbox had a really rosy vision about the Xbox future. It was essentially like, oh yeah, you can play some Xbox games on other consoles like Minecraft, you know. Or Ori. Ori was able to be played on the Switch. So that itself, they're really saying like, yeah, we're doing some third-party stuff, but we still have a console that we have to support. But we also want our studios to be happy. So they let studios like Rare do a pirate game, right? Which a lot of people back then were like, why is Rare doing a pirate game? Now we see the fruits of that labor is Sea of Thieves. And now the current version of Sea of Thieves is pretty great, right?
I love Sea of Thieves. It's funny. I was on a Discord call last night with my friend MZ, who was playing it. Because, I mean, throughout the pandemic, we basically played Sea of Thieves, Among Us, and Jackbox games, and that's it. But we played over 200 hours of Sea of Thieves during, like, just in 2020 and 2021, you know, as a group during the pandemic. Oh, yeah. And, like, that game, I mean, I have the books. I have, like, actual, like, thing. I have so much Sea of Thieves stuff, and I haven't played it in a year, but he was playing it last night with all the updates, and God, that game looks so much fun. And if I could go back to one game right now, when my time kind of goes down, it would be going back to Sea of Thieves. Yeah, for sure. So like, I can I say one thing about the Xbox things, like why they have a different hand than like Sony and Nintendo? Because like one thing with Nintendo, it's they're keeping everything onto their system or mobile for some reason. Like with Pokemon Go, that Mario running game, Pikmin, and a few other things. But what Xbox is trying to do is kind of do like a thing with whatever comes out on Xbox, it needs to also come out on PC. Mm-hmm. And they're heavily relying on the PC and the PC market, where Sony and Nintendo just can't. And that's something that I think is really, really smart. And that's also helping them with sales as well. The Microsoft Store, I know a lot of people who use it and actually for some reason prefer it over Steam. Not my thing. I do prefer the Xbox stuff over Epic, but that's just me. Okay. But like, I do feel like that's something that like, I think, I don't know, part of this discussion is that it's a massive deal having almost, you know, what 80% of the games that come out are also going to port over to PC or be also released on PC at the same time. And which also helps with money, which is, again, like, it's a little insane that Xbox is kind of not hemorrhaging, but, you know, having issues, I guess. Well, but anyways,
I'll revisit all that as well. So going
with, I apologize.
And no, that's fine. That's fine. Like you said, multi-platform approach with PC and Game Pass and all that stuff. Very pro-consumer stuff, Pass, right? Yeah. But going back to my pro-dev stuff, they got Obsidian, right? They didn't force Obsidian to do another fantasy game. They let them do games like Pentiment. They let them do games like Grounded, right? This is the Xbox vision that Phil Spencer had. They even allowed Ninja Tier, when they got them, to do a passion project called Bleeding Edge, which failed miserably in terms of commercial and critical success, right? But Xbox also brought in Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is a flight simulator. Like, who plays that nowadays? A lot of gamers have...
I will tell you, that is there is a huge fan base. Huge fan
Very
base.
Niche, though.
Oh, my God.
Very niche, right?
Almost every single Let's Player I watch on YouTube plays Microsoft Flight Simulator at some point. Go. It's insane.
But a lot of the regular so-called hardcore gamers, you know, who loves the action games and adventure games and whatnot, they're like, why Flight Simulator? Like, what is this Flight Simulator thing? Why is Microsoft spending time on that? Well, so here's the thing. I think that's done and over with. That Xbox that was open to having those odd games from their studios and not forcing down, hey, make sure to make the big hit kind of thing, and actually letting them grow on their own kind of thing,
That's
over. And that was over when Redfall failed. Okay.
Oh God, Redfall.
So they got Activision Blizzard. No, I'm sorry. They got Arkane. Yeah, Activision Blizzard. They got Arkane, Austin. They made them. They were like, okay, what's the first game they can release? Oh, Redfall. Sure, go ahead, release Redfall. Arkane, Austin, to their benefit, were like, I'm not sure if this is the game we should be releasing because it's not quite done yet. But Microsoft was desperate to release a game from their.
Oh yeah, it was the big thing at that. I remember that E3 when we used to do Gamer Culture on YouTube. You can watch like our reaction of it and just us talking about it, and it was just like, I didn't get it. I was like, really? These are the people who work with, you know, and help out with oh my God, I'm blanking, but with Elder Scrolls stuff, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, this is insane. That was like the big thing that they ended with. And I just feel like everybody was just like, what the hell? was that?
So essentially, Arkane Austin was kind of like on the thing where they kind of didn't want to release it, but Microsoft wanted them to release something. Wow. But Microsoft also didn't really bother to help them out with the game. They were the past decade, hands off with the developers. Hey, dev, we're not going to look over your shoulder. Do what you do. And I think that's when Microsoft was like, okay, maybe we should start looking at over people's shoulders now. And I think that started with Starfield. Starfield was going to release at an earlier date. And Microsoft stepped in and go, nope, you need more time. So they kind of learned their lesson a little bit. But at the same time, they're now micromanaging a company, which is something that they didn't want to do. But now they don't have a choice. And I think the big turning point was the whole Activision Blizzard King deal, which Xbox had to ask Satya Nadella, you know, their Microsoft boss, hey, we need money to buy ABK. And the Microsoft said, okay, here's $69 million. Go ahead and buy that if you think it will help. But that's the catch, though. I think the catch there is that because Xbox had to go to Big Daddy Microsoft, now Microsoft is running the show. And I think that's going to be the problem. Because Microsoft is really more about the bottom line. Hey, I see you have a lot of games that aren't selling at all. And you seem to be okay letting them release these kind of games. Maybe you should start selling games that will sell.
Yeah.
Which is what Phil Spencer said.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him, sure.
In certain degrees, I don't, you know. I think sometimes things are misses. And I think, like, everything with Starfield is the people who I know who play Starfield love Starfield.
Yeah, I enjoy just Starfield too.
People are just love to hate on it. I am very in the middle. I'm intrigued by it. Mm. I am more excited for, you know, Mass Effect to come back. But like, Starfield seems cool. It's just it doesn't seem like my type of game. Like, I do prefer I prefer the Elder Scrolls. But I think they'll fix itself. Like 76, like Fallout 76 is now loved because they fixed it. I mean, the same thing with No Man's Sky.
Yeah,
came out. Wow, underwhelming. And then now it's like the people who play No Man's Sky are just absolutely in love with that game.
And Cyberpunk.
I mean, there's still a lot of people who don't, you know, who think they're like, it could have been better. But
they see it a lot more favorably now. Now, as a guy who
likes it, is, yeah.
I actually, I played Cyberpunk 2077 when it first came out on my PC, and it worked perfectly fine, right? I had no big bug issues and whatnot. But the current product of Cyberpunk 2077 right now is much better than it was before. And a lot of people are a lot more willing to say it's a good game, or maybe even a great game, actually. Yeah. So, but the point is that Starfield right now, and this is a segue, really, I would say wait until they start giving you the land vehicles, which isn't happening. I don't think it's happening this year, but I think it's happening next year. So if you want to wait, I would say wait for the land vehicles.
I don't think I'll ever play it, though. Like, I think I'm waiting for Mass Effect, whatever the next Mass Effect's going to be called. But honestly, like, I have it downloaded, and like, it's on my, like, it's my to-do, like, when things slow down, like, especially after Anime Riverside, I have downloaded Star Trek Online. I think I'm going to dive into that as a huge Trekkie. I've never played an MMO before. I don't like playing with others, but I am willing to play that one. So I'll let you know how that is. I feel like that's going to be, Starfield, but with more politics.
Oh, sure. Cyberpunk had that too with politics, and I'm sure Starfield had too. I stopped playing Starfield at a certain point because I'm like, they still need to cook on this thing. So, but I did enjoy what I was playing until it got to the point where there was a bug that prevented me to finding this temple, and that was like, okay, I'm done. Until you fix this kind of bugs, I'm not playing this game anymore. But I did like what I played. I was like really into it at that point. So going back to this, so very consumer friendly. Very dev-friendly Microsoft is done. Xbox. The friendly, the nice guy Xbox that Phil Spencer's vision had.
The cool uncle that's like, hey, buddy, you need anything? Let your cool uncle know. Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. It's dead. As
grumpy old grandpa, I think, is going to come in and tell you how to live your life.
Yeah, it's dead. So profit and investors are now the game. As it always is with big companies. And they can't afford to keep companies like Tango Gamework, which had critical darlings, but didn't really sell that much to justify it being around. Not only that, but Shinji Mikami left the company and took people with him. That didn't help.
No, that part.
didn't help. Right. So that didn't help. So essentially who they have right there was like, okay, well, what are you guys doing? Oh, no, that's not sustainable. I guess you guys are gone. It's essentially probably what ended up happening. Arcade Austin, unfortunately, as much as people love Dishonored and Prey, Redfall is the last game they made, and they're gone. You know, I don't have any information about Alpha Dog or Roundhouse because I think they're mobile games, whatnot, right? So I don't know, and I believe Roundhouse or Alpha Dog, one of those two, is getting merged to ZeniMax, right? So one of those two companies are actually staying around as support, I guess, for other companies. But I think this is also a result of the fact that Xbox is still third place. It's always been third place. Yep. It will stay third place. It will always be Nintendo, PlayStation, and then Xbox. And that also doesn't help. So all the goodwill that Xbox tried to do after Xbox One, pro-consumer, pro-developers, and all that stuff, didn't get them any more gamers. If anything else, they probably lost some gamers because everybody moved on to PlayStation and Nintendo again. And that doesn't help. So all this talk, the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, because I kept seeing so much outrage about the firing of the studios and whatnot, it felt to me very, I'm not sure if it's ignorant or hypocritical, or if I can just call fake outrage, but isn't this what gamers wanted? They want Xbox to stay in third place. They wanted Xbox to be a third-party company. They wanted Xbox to just essentially like give into PlayStation and Nintendo. Xbox had
be like Sega,
yeah, like kind of like what happened with Sega. So and that's still fresh in my mind, and I haven't really forgiven that from happening.
If I were to get a system, like the only reason why I get Nintendo is for Pokemon. If I were to buy a console, it would be an Xbox. I also am very biased, and I very much hate Sony as a company. So I try not to ever buy anything Sony, especially gaming. But
about the PC anyway, right?
PC yeah, Master that's the thing. Yeah, but I'm happy with my PC. But yeah, it's. I don't hate Xbox. I think some of the all layoffs are terrible. Mm-hmm. I have lots of friends in the video game industry, and it's so volatile. I feel like everybody is shitting on Xbox, and I kind of agree with you. I think in this part, in this scenario, they tried their hardest to be the cool uncle and like the cool boss, and mm-hmm. to be like, hey, but again, you put out games like these. You know, maybe not, you know, maybe not Hi-Fi Rush, but like, you know, Redfall and, you know, Dishonored and stuff like that. Like these games that are just essentially like, yeah, they have attention, but like there's no growth. Like nobody really cares. Everybody knows of them, but like nobody plays them. And so, or at least a majority of people don't play them. And if they can't get better. Yeah, I also feel like a lot of this is just because I'm looking into it. You know, what is it? ZeniMax? ZeniMax is a holding group that basically oversees all these, and it's just I feel like they failed a little bit too.
Well, ZeniMax is behind Fallout 76, so there's that. They're also behind Elder Scrolls Online, which I heard is still doing pretty good.
So. Oh yeah, it's like that and Final Fantasy 14 are like the MMOs to play. Yeah. So, yeah, it sucks. Microsoft, I mean, I know the Sea of... it's weird, because I used to listen to Sea of Thieves podcasts. They talk... the Rare people have talked, you know, very, very highly of Microsoft in ways that's not, like, where it's like, you know, they're doing it to kiss us, or, they're, you know, it seems like it's, like, propaganda. They literally are just like, hey, they just tell us to do this. They tell us to do, you know, to work with others, and like, you know, the whole Disney thing happened because Xbox was patient. And stuff, you know, and it's like, it's cool. You know, Monkey Island was part of it because Microsoft was very patient. And so
I feel like we need to make a distinction right now about Microsoft and Xbox. Because when we talk about
Xbox. I meant Xbox. Xbox.
Yeah, I think back then it's easy to just flip flop between Microsoft and Xbox. But now for this conversation, I think we need to make a very distinct
line
between
Microsoft and Xbox. This whole time I've been talking about Xbox.
Yeah. So, developers liked Xbox, right? They worked with Xbox to release games on Game Pass and whatnot. And developers on Game Pass said, yeah, no, we're actually getting a lot more attention on our indie games, and we're actually getting money from Game Pass. So
and I'll say Game Pass is also like unbelievable. I mean, it made Sony have to change their way of doing it, what, twice? So it's it sucks. It really, really, really sucks. All layoffs suck, and especially if it's like bad decisions from higher up people. But
bad decision as a gamer, but I think good decision if you want to make money for the investors.
Yeah,
right.
It's weird. The video game industry is infuriating because it feels like they're not listening to us, but it's also like, okay, but they do listen to us in certain ways as well, though.
They only listen to us if money is involved.
Yeah.
So going back with another recent current event with Helldivers 2, all right? Sony was going to stand their ground. They were like, no, everybody's got to be on PSN. If you're in a country that's not in PS, if you're a country that doesn't have PSN, just lie. Even though it's against our terms of service, just lie anyway, right? They were all set about the whole PSN.
Or they were more like SOL.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was that Steam was going to go against their own TOS and allow refunds, right?
Yeah.
So
they did.
So
yeah, they refunded a ton.
They found exactly. So Sony was losing money. They were starting to lose money from their position, so they had to backtrack, right? Yep. So Microsoft closing down the studios, do they gain or lose money? It makes a difference to them. If anything else, it gained them money because they have less people to pay. So I don't understand this outrage about like, oh, we need to boycott Xbox. Isn't this the reason why we got to the situation in the first place?
Because I think it's very hypocritical, like what you said. Like, why are we boycotting Xbox right now? And where Sony last week changed everything to where they basically say you don't own any games that you buy digitally. Like that was last week, and then now in the last 5 days alone, they do that with oh my god, whatever that game is called, Devil
Helldivers.
Helldivers.
Yeah.
I'm like, so not only are they basically saying, oh yeah, you don't own the games that you buy, and then but also screwing with like a very passionate fan base. All one, like Microsoft's doing things that like everybody's doing, including Sony is doing, shutting down things, layoffs like crazy. But it's so weird right now that people are more mad at Xbox than they are at Sony right now, because I think out of the two, I think Sony is way more evil. Well, but
Xbox did fire a lot of
consumers and stuff. So
Xbox did fire a lot more people than Sony, which doesn't help them. Okay, so
yeah, but Xbox has more studios than Sony does now, though.
Oh yeah, that is true. That is true. But here's the thing though. So a lot of gamers, and I say a lot in general terms, PlayStation, Nintendo players, basically Xbox haters who wanted Xbox either out of the industry or become a third party, right? Because they want Nintendo to be the handheld console, and then they want PlayStation to be the home console, and everything will be rosy if that's the case. At least that's the way they see it, right? They hate Xbox. They want Xbox to fail. So all those people who wanted Xbox to fail, complaining about this, this is your fault. This is exactly what ended up happening. If you don't support a company, any company, not just Xbox, they will have to fire people. They will, and this is exactly the first step of doing that. Oh, you want us to be a third party? Well, we have way too many studios in our publishing team to be a third party, so I guess we're going to have to let some go. You know, that's the first step.
Xbox has been so, out of the three, has been the easiest, like, for everybody. They're putting their own stuff that should honestly just be exclusives for the Xbox. They're putting it on Sony, on the PlayStation.
Right.
They're putting it on Switch. Like, They're working so they put Steven into Super Smash Brothers and didn't even need to. Like they're working so well. Like there's no reason why Minecraft is on PlayStation Switch, but they still go ahead and do it because they're trying to be best for what for their consumers. And I think like I agree with you. It is insane that I don't want to be an apologist because I also hate big corporations, but like out of the three, man, like you have one like with Nintendo that basically say, "Oh, Joy-Con drift isn't real. We're you know, it's all your fault," and you know, and then also DMCA strikes, and also just Nintendo's really terrible. I don't have a lot of good opinions about Nintendo. And then you have Sony over here that is just constantly having data leaks, constantly laying off, constantly telling you don't own your stuff, and then doing other things that are really annoying. And then you just have Xbox that's just doing the same thing as everybody else is doing, and they just get crapped on so much more. It's insane to me, especially with like what we've been talking about. And it's well known how good they have been to their developers regarding especially big projects. Like the fact that we don't have Elder Scrolls 6 right now is probably like it's amazing, because they could have easily told them, no, just put it out. I don't care how good it is. Make it, just put it out. I don't care. They could have easily done that. No, they're allowing them to take their time because we absolutely need the perfect game after the success of Skyrim. We have to. And the fact that like Microsoft has been cool like that, Xbox. Other things like with Sea of Thieves, Xbox, also same thing with Sea of Thieves, but just like all these other projects as well is like unbelievable, and things that you don't hear from Sony, you didn't hear from Activision prior, you don't really hear from EA, and you definitely don't hear from Nintendo. Nintendo has put out several things early, or that was just absolutely horrendous for some of their biggest franchises. Like, let's look at Pokemon Shining Diamond and Brilliant, you know, or Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond is just a horrendous, horrible game. Scarlet and Violet could have been a way better game if the system was just a little bit better and they gave them a little more time. And
still, and that's sold just
for
well.
Pokemon.
Still sold well, though, did it?
Scarlet and Violet is actually my favorite generation. I really do think that, but that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. We're talking about Xbox.
What I'm saying is, like, for Nintendo's sake, they release the games that they know people will buy. So yeah. You'll always get the Mario, you always get the Zelda, you always get the Mario Kart, you always get the Pokemon, you always get the WarioWare. Yeah. It's pretty much like, well, we know these are the games you're going to buy, so that's all we're going to make.
And they don't have to worry about cross-platforming either. They don't have to, you know, you have the team do it for, you know, other consoles. It's just for the one thing. So that's what helps them out. And also, almost everything's in-house.
And they're also like, oh, you don't like playing our games at 720p, 1080p? Too bad. This is what we got. Yep. And you're going to buy it anyway. Right? So Nintendo right now, they found their niche. They found their strategy. Yes. Okay, this is what's going to make us money. So let's just keep doing that. Sony fired their Japanese studio that made all the quirky games that a lot of people loved about the PlayStation era. And they were fired. They were let go. Why? Yep. Because they weren't making a cinematic, story-driven, third-person action adventure. And that's Sony's bread and butter. So they also sold out to the consumers essentially by saying, okay, this is what we had to do to make money by making this cinematic third-person action-adventure story-driven games. Okay, that's all we're going to do. So, and then everybody seems to be okay with it, right? So now Xbox, they're trying to find their strategy that will actually make them money. And I feel like Fallout, the whole research with Fallout right now is going to push them in that direction, which is a direction I'm not sure I completely agree with. Because I love this quirky Xbox for the past decade that was releasing random games that most people would not buy, but they're making them anyway.
I think Xbox will be very careful about the big ones, like Elder Scrolls and Fallout now. I think they'll be careful. Do I think that they'll push for Fallout to come out, you know, for them to hurry up a little bit for Fallout? Yes, but I don't think that also necessarily. I'm sure they're going to throw more support on them to make up for it. I have a feeling. I don't think Xbox is going to be that crazy bad, but they're not going to be, like I said, they're not going to be as wacky and cool and be like, put out Redfall. Why not? Just work on it. You know, I think we're going to see a lot less of that for sure.
Yeah. The Microsoft Xbox of today would never have released Sea of Thieves. They would never have released Bleeding Edge. Yeah. They would never have released Pentiment or Grounded or any of those games. They would not bring back Microsoft Flight Simulator because There is no solid look and go, okay, we'll just release these games, it's going to make money. Those games, it was up in the air whether it will make money or not, right?
Yeah.
Today's Microsoft Xbox would not do any of that. Now they're going to only play, because if you look at Matt Booty's email, it was like, we're going to focus on blockbuster games, high-ticket games that we know should make us money, which pretty much excludes a lot of stuff that they were open to do now. Which they won't be doing anymore.
Yeah, and that's where you were saying, we're like, isn't this what you guys wanted them to do? Like, and that's the whole thing. So it's a mess. It sucks. People lost jobs. Lives were changed. But like again, it is this weird? The haters are gonna keep hating. You know, the Xbox fans are you know, hurt, but also I believe hopefully are a little bit more understanding than us who kind of like are like consoles. Why?
No, they're not understanding. They're not understanding at all. And that's the reason why this podcast is this. Because I'm like, my gosh, dude, don't you see what's actually happening, people?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This isn't just like big corporations being assholes. This isn't just that. There's a lot more going on here. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, once again, gamers are the market. The money determines where the market is going. And the money is going to PC and is going to third-party games. PlayStation knows this. That's why they will start releasing their games on PC. Day and date, maybe. Because Helldivers 2 is a huge success, and a lot of it has to do with PC. Tango Gameworks was supposed to be Microsoft in to the Japanese market, right?
Yeah. They've tried so many times. With Mistwalker and a few other ones. Like, one of my favorite games, Blue Dragon, is still like one of my favorite games, but that was Microsoft trying to get into the Japanese market.
Xbox. But I think the 360 era, the 360 era was definitely their best bet on the Japanese market. They pretty much catered so hard to the Japanese market. Oh, you like Japanese RPGs? We got Japanese RPGs that are exclusive to Xbox 360. Oh, you like
Blue Dragon, girl? Tales of game, the Tales of Vesperia, I think it was. And the other
Lost
one
Odyssey.
I forgot. Lost Odyssey. Yeah. Yes, great game.
And then you're like, oh, you like anime girls in bikini? We got Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball for you.
Yep.
You know, they were really catering to the Japanese market and in Asian market in general. Completely failed. Well, not completely failed. They moved some needles, but wasn't enough.
Yep.
Asians in general don't care about Xbox. Right? Stellar Blade, which came out on the PlayStation 5, was originally supposed to be also for Xbox. But PlayStation went ahead and paid them like for the exclusivity, right? And the director for Stellar Blade even said, oh yeah, it's my dream to make a game for PlayStation. And that's because for the past 30 years, a lot of Asian consumers grew up with PlayStation. They didn't grow up with Xbox. Yep. They grew up with PlayStation. So they don't care about Xbox. So whatever Xbox does right now to try to cater to the Japanese is...
And the Switch is fluff, so you can't even compare it. So
So as much as they try to get the Korean market, the Japanese market, the Philippine market, any of the Asian regions to cater to like Xbox, no, nothing. Nothing. Yeah. So what can they do? Nothing. So why are people shocked that Tango Gameworks, which once again, Shinji Mikami left with the staff? Like, why are they shocked that they went ahead and shut down the studio?
It's true. And I didn't even know about that. Probably because they just don't know that stuff, honestly.
Yeah, they don't know that stuff. I mean,
they just see numbers. They see people, this number of people were laid off. This studio has been shut down.
Yeah, be outraged by the layoff. Be outraged by the layoff. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But I think there's a lot of bad faith actors there who are just saying, oh, Xbox is bad. Look how bad they are. Why should we support Xbox when they do this crap? They're not the only ones doing this crap, like you said. They're not the only ones.
Sony, EA. No, I don't know about EA. Oh, no, EA just had their massive layoffs a few weeks ago. And, I mean, oh, my God. Yeah, look at Ubisoft. Anything Ubisoft. Oh, my God. Talk about a real villain. Holy crap.
But people still buy their games anyway. I keep saying...
I don't know. Not much anymore. There's a whole blockade on that. That's a whole different discussion.
But once again, I'm like, the gamers are the market. Your money determines where the market goes, and the money was not going to Xbox. So what did you think was going to happen? Like, I don't understand this. Like, just because Xbox has Microsoft money, it's not a charity. They're still a business. They still have to make money somehow. If you don't support them, how can you support the developers? I mean, it's economics. It's just so simple. I don't understand why this outrage is happening. It should just be more like an understanding. Oh, this is where the game industry is at right now. But no, they're just more focused on blaming Phil and Matt and Sarah and Aaron and just like no, it's their fault. They're bad people. And it just seems so unfair. It's like you also helped cause this. You also helped cause this. You wanted Xbox to be out of the industry or a third party, and this is the steps it takes to get there. If you really want it to be a third party, there's going to be so much more studio layoffs and studios getting shut down. That's the only way for that to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. You hit it right on the head there. Exactly. So especially for Xbox. Especially with how much hate Xbox, unwanted hate at Xbox when everybody else just kind of like puts their hand over their ears about Nintendo and Sony and like, they can't do anything wrong. It's like, no, they can. Yeah. And they are.
Because once again, they're determining where the market's going. And as much as Nintendo has done bad stuff, which they have, and as much as Sony has done bad stuff, which they have, they want them to survive. So they're just like, all right, we're going to complain, but we're going to give them
everybody
money.
Everybody wants competition, but then they get upset about competition because of...
Yeah, that hypocrisy
too. It'd be cool. Yeah. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
because it's cool to hate on Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like Xbox games? But Xbox is going to have games in our PlayStation now. I thought you hated Xbox games.
I'm going to say something that I know is stupid, but I don't give a crap. Xbox One, this latest gen, solely because of that refrigerator. That's it. That's my hot take.
And the controllers. They do a lot of controllers and
I love Xbox control. I hate the DualShocks. Yeah. I genuinely do. I don't like them. They're not comfortable. I still have my Xbox One controller.
DualSense now.
They can add whatever gimmick they want. They don't feel good. So yeah. I love Xbox. Xbox controllers.
The joke right now is that Xbox is really good at making different controllers, like different looking controllers. They're really good at making console skins for their consoles. And
I would say Sony would make their controllers like Xbox controllers have looked almost the same.
No. I'm talking about design. They have so many special editions. So many special edition controllers, right? Like the joke right now is Xbox is only making money through their special edition controllers and through their special edition console skins and through
they have customizable ones that are awesome. I want one so badly.
There we go. Like I said, this is where the market is going, and yeah. I will make a bold prediction. I don't think Microsoft Xbox is necessarily going to leave the console market.
I think they've already stated that they are. They don't care.
Yeah. Because if they're still around, they need to have a base console that developers can work around, right? And there's all this talk about our next console is going to be a powerhouse. And the only two things that I can see that make sense by saying that is if the next Xbox is a gaming PC. Only way I can see it happening.
I think that they've stated several times that they want the difference between console and PC, because they tried to do that with the Xbox One. The Xbox One was supposed to be everything together, but then it failed.
Well, and as an entertainment
people didn't
unit
like that aspect, so they started updating it. Yeah, that's true.
But not as a PC, but as an entertainment unit.
That's true. That is true.
So, yeah. I mean, PlayStation and Xbox and the Switch are all pretty much PC parts put together to make into a console with a proprietary UI, right? So that's essentially what it is. So, but
the
my
Switch
guess
is more like a tablet, but yeah.
Yeah, but the more
I hate the Switch. But I hate the Switch.
I think the one key thing that Phil Spencer said last year, was it last year or was it early this year? One of the way. Phil Spencer said, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a future where you can sideload Steam on Xbox. And I think that's Phil telling people, by the way, our next console is gonna be a PC. It's gonna be they're gonna make a deal with AMD. Hey, can you make us a gaming PC that's a powerhouse?
Oh, he was talking about Epic Game Store.
Oh, okay, Steam Epic Game Store. But I mean that in itself.
Plus Epic Game Store and others on Xbox consoles.
Right. So, but that in itself is saying that hey, that's what you're doing the PC right now, right? Well, I don't see it not happening for Xbox. And the only way I could see that not happening for Xbox if they completely embrace that. Hey. Our next console is just going to be a gaming PC. Because what other regions also play gaming PC? Well, I don't know. Asia. Japanese people play gaming PCs. You know, Chinese play gaming PCs. Koreans play gaming PCs. So if they can't get a foothold on those market with just a regular standard console, why not just sell them
smart.
A gaming PC?
Because you could just have a console that is literally a fraction of the price as it is to build and maintain a tower. That was the appeal before. But what I'm saying is even more so. Like, why buy a $3,000 gaming laptop when you can just get the new Xbox console that will essentially do the same thing? And you won't get a screen or anything like that. Or maybe you will. We don't know. Maybe they're going towards a more handheld as well. We don't know. Or hybrid. Yeah. But
so my prediction. Next Xbox console is going to be a PC where you could install Epic Games, Steam, or whatever. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of thing where you flip a switch and look, hey, it's Windows. They have Windows on there, right? And not only that, but you can play PlayStation games on the Xbox via Steam or Epic Games.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What's that?
I feel like Steam. So retracting kind of what I said, I do see that could be happening. The only problem is, if the new console could be a competitor to the Steam Deck, I feel like Steam would be a hard sell. Epic Game Store, easy to do. But with the Steam Deck being a success, being a big hitter for Steam, if the next console, again, like it's kind of everybody's just really wanting to get in this hybrid thing. If it could potentially be a competitor for Steam, I feel like Steam might be a tall order, but in Gabe Newell we trust, so you know anything's possible.
But there are already competition for Steam Deck. There are other handheld PCs that are available out there that a lot of people have also bought for, and some of them said that those are actually work better than Steam. The only difference is that you don't get the UI.
Are people buying them, though?
Not as much as Steam Deck. Because Steam Deck has the name brand recognition. Yeah. But they do exist.
But I think Xbox itself, though, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the other people are like, what? Like, LG and whatever? Or like, who gives a crap? But when Xbox, though, is going to do it, there is where, you know, because they already have, you know, a lot of stuff. So, yeah, and I think the legalities of the whole Sony stuff, like what you were saying, there are Sony games, Spider-Man and a few others that are on there. There's no way Sony will allow that to happen.
PC rules. They're just going to say, this isn't a console, it's a PC. If your game plays on PC, it plays on our console. Because our console is a PC. But here's the thing,
You have to have a license. You have to have licensing, though, for the games as well. Windows.
It's going to be Windows rule. They're just going to follow the same rules that they have with Windows right now. Sure, Microsoft's not going to get a cut.
I would love that. I mean, I would love anything that pisses off Sony. Everybody would love that. Honestly, I'm down for it. Whatever pisses off Sony, Microsoft, do it. I don't know why I looked at my webcam. We're not doing this in video.
just think about like the next, like in 5 years or in three years where this Xbox PC comes out, people are going to go, I can play all my Steam games on it. I can play all those free Epic Games Store games on it.
Rough.
I can play all my GOG games on it. And plus Game Pass. I mean, how is that not a seller?
Exactly. Now, that's what I'm saying.
But here's the caveat, though. Can't be cheap. There's no way that's going to be a $500 device, right? They got to sell it like a low-end gaming PC, which is like $1,000 to $1,500. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes with the whole, like, our next console is going to be a powerhouse. Well, yeah, if it costs $1,500, it's a powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
So the answer is, what you're saying, a hybrid console. They do it. That's going to be the Series S. The Series S is going to be...
And you know what? It can also be a gateway to people building their own PCs that will also help Microsoft sell more Microsoft license. Yeah. So
their Series S, which will essentially
is a gateway operating system.
No, their Series S is essentially going to be a Steam Deck. That's going to be their Steam Deck. They're going to have a handheld Xbox. It's going to play 720p, 1080p games.
That's already a thing.
It's not a thing yet. I'm saying is that that's going to be their low end model for Xbox. High end model, gaming PC. Low end model, it's a handheld.
Sony one looks so ugly and so stupid.
And then the caveat there would probably be not Windows. It's not a Windows device. It's an Xbox device. If you want the Windows version of Xbox, you got to buy our gaming PC, right? If you want Steam on your handheld and on an Xbox device, you got to buy a gaming PC. You just can't have all that on a $400 or $500 handheld. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The whole VR thing, Xbox hasn't jumped on VR. Well, a Meta Quest opened up the licensing for other companies to make Meta Quest devices. And it'll be so easy for Xbox to say, okay, just plug in your Meta Quest to our console, and there you go. You got VR. Oh, you got Steam?
Yeah.
You got Epic? You got all the other stuff? Yeah, you can play VR on Xbox. I don't see how Satya Nadella, Microsoft, doesn't tell us Phil Spencer, hey, enough with this console hardware stuff. Just release another Windows. I completely see that happening. I completely see Microsoft telling Xbox, just release Windows on Xbox. I mean, that seems to be the most obvious logical conclusion to all this stuff happening. It will give them a foothold on Europe, on Asia, because gaming PC, you know, it's universal. Like it seemed like this is the win-win situation. They have to go this direction. This is all speculation on my part, of course, but I don't see, because put it this way, I'm not buying a console ever again. It's just not happening. PC Master Race all the way from this point on. The only reason why I even have an Xbox is because I love Rock Band. Until Fortnite decided to release Rock Band songs. Which is like, okay, well, there we go then. Really don't have a reason to play console games anymore or buy another console. Just no reason.
Yeah.
No reason. Rock Band isn't my only excuse anymore. I can just play it on PC now.
Well, yeah, because I think Epic bought Rock Band, bought that studio. So yeah, now it's all theirs.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunately, the songs they sell on Fortnite Festival is much more expensive than when it was a Rock Band. I heard it was $5 a song, and I'm like, I missed the $2 a song thing for Rock Band.
I never played it. 280 HD. Those games were way too hard for me. But oh my god. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there we go, folks. My thoughts.
Everything is just rough. It's so hard to put things into words and to have opinions on things, especially for Xbox. Poor Xbox, but also fuck Xbox. Sorry, I had to censor that.
Well, it's more like F Microsoft. But
Microsoft. Yeah.
And I say this as I have a Windows PC and whatnot. It's you know, that's the way the business runs. I don't want to excuse the fact that that's the way capitalism works and that's the way business works, but that's the reality of it, folks. Your money determines what the market is, and your money has not been going to Xbox for a long time. So this is the logical conclusion of what's going to happen from that. I mean, it's easy to say it's all their fault, but you had a part in it. And you may not want to admit it, but it's true. It's economics, folks. Yeah. Economics. Yeah. So there we go. I am releasing this episode more than a day after we recorded this. So if there's any updates to this whole shenanigans, it'll be in the show notes. I'll release it over there. All right, Tyler. Nice. Thanks for being on.
Of course.
I really appreciate it.
I'm happy to be back.
This is a lot more easier in my head talking to you about this than good. It was with the rest of them. Oh my gosh. I'm not sure if you listened to the episode, but my God, I was just yelling at them, like, shut up.
This week has been hell at my day job. So I have 12 tabs of YouTube videos I'm behind on, plus your podcast, and then plus other things as well I've been meaning to listen to. So like, yeah, I'm behind just from 2 days, or it's Wednesday, just from 3 days.
All right. There you go, listeners. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5. Tyler, where can people catch you online?
Most Extreme Ranking Challenge. At Extreme Ranking on almost everything. Also, Anime Riverside, if you want to go to an awesome anime convention, Anime Riverside, June 1st and 2nd. I am head of programming, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Our programming, everything is out. So we are, you know, what was it, 3 weeks out, and we already put our programming out. So take that, Comic-Con. And
well, Comic-Con is like 3 months away still, so, but yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, but they never release before 2 weeks. It's always 2 weeks before the con.
Well, considering that people do back out, I think it's smart for them to do that.
It's true. Oh, no, I know. It's funny. Everything's done in-house. I think we only have like two third-party panels. Doesn't matter. Go to Anime Riverside. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Awesome. Music has been provided by Gloomy Jin. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else on the show notes found on whatworstwhy.com. All right, this was episode 768 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Tyler, thanks for joining us also.
Of course.
Until next time, this podcast has been Who, What, Where, Why production.
Oh, yeah. I will say this. Just like random... This would be my red flag for Xbox. At Summer Games Fest, they have a trailer or any footage for Elder Scrolls 6. If there's Elder Scrolls 6 at this year's Summer Game Fest, then you know shit has kind of hit the fan at Xbox.
Yeah.
That's going to be my... I don't know how you would... Not opinion, or I don't know, like maybe a warning. I mean, but that is how I feel like things would be different, because they have told us in the past it's going to be a while until we hear anything Elder Scrolls 6. So like I said, if I think because of what's happening right now and people are freaking out and reacting the way they are, if anything is mentioned about Elder Scrolls 6 except for we are making it, if anything beyond that is at Summer Game Fest, then I think yeah, shit hit the fan.
Well, they did it last year. They did the whole, like, here are our art productions of what Elder Scrolls 6 is going to look like. So they already did say that. I think the red flag that you should be concerned about is they have a banner that says Fallout 5 in development. That's the red flag.
I'm always okay with the in development thing. I'm always okay.
But they have no reason to announce it, though. They have no reason to say that. Yeah. They have no reason to say that. Right,
I think they do because the show is so successful. I think it would be a great time for them to do it. I don't know. That's just me, though.
I think
because it'll also get people to go back and play 4 and 76.
No, but that's the thing, though. I think Bethesda's strategy right now is to push people to Fallout 76, and it seems to be working because a lot of people are enjoying the game right now.
I mean, Fallout 4 is huge on my TikTok. I don't know what happened, but my TikTok changed from Red Dead from like Red Dead stuff to like Fallout 4, and I don't like Fallout. Like, the show's fine. I do not like that series.
Never played
I don't
a game.
Like post.
Yeah.
I don't like post-apocalyptic stuff. It's very boring to me. It's just I'm not the Fair. Big besides Fury Road. I don't like Mad Max. I don't like Waterworld. I don't like anything post-apocalyptic, including zombie stuff. It bores me. If it doesn't have anything to do with apes, and it's Mad Max Fury Road, I don't really care about it. And so, but yeah, but like with Fallout, I mean, 4 and 76 are having a massive resurgence, yep. as you said.
Yeah, I think that could hold off the demand for Fallout 5.
I never have an issue with them saying in development. I always think that that's always kind of cool.
But they
and again,
have no reason to say it, though. Have no reason to say it.
The show. That's way more on a marketing standpoint. Oh yeah, because it gets people in 2024 before summer to not only watch Fallout TV show, but then right after it be like, yeah, you like the show? Guess what else is in the development? Then it really garnishes excitement. That's but the thing. It's like again,
it's
like I'm saying,
like if 6 years away. It's still 6 years away. I'm kind of sick and tired
They did that with, but they did that with Elder Scrolls. Like yeah. you know, they yeah, did that yeah. with Kingdom Hearts. They did that with Final Fantasy VII remake. They yeah. did it with
Hellblade 2.
You know.
Hellblade 2 has been like they've been showing it for like 5 years now. It's finally coming out.
Yeah.
in like 2 weeks. But
technically, Pal World as well. Pal World was like they were like showing that
yeah,
off.
Yeah, but
like,
that wasn't
like,
an that wasn't technically an Xbox title.
Oh yeah. no! But what I'm saying is like a lot of the games have done it in the past, right, and right. it. You know, and you know, it makes sense. That's what I'm saying. It's like whenever I don't ever see as like a blank in development as a warning sign. What it is for me is when a game but with a promise that it would take a long time, like a Metroid game, like when they were like, oh yeah, this Metroid game's coming out soon, and everyone was like, no, oh god, no, and then still when waiting. It was like that other one, that side scroller, and everyone was like, oh good, they're taking their time, oh good, and then they're like, no, it's not the one you guys are thinking, like everybody was like relieved because they're like, oh god, don't tell us you rushed this one, but it was the side scrolling one, right. and everyone's like, oh, that's okay, good, oh yeah, please take your time with the other one.
Oh, they are taking their sweet time with Metroid Prime.
Well, they had to redo the whole thing, yeah. They had to like start from scratch again. So
I feel like if they say anything about Fallout 5, it is a reek of desperation though, because they know that's an easy crowd pleaser to say that, and the fact that they have to fall back to that crowd pleaser moment is okay. Sounds like desperation.
But okay, Summer Game Fest is literally next month though, and Fallout show just came out 2 weeks ago. Like I would say if it was 3 months. 3 months in between Summer Game Fest and Fallout. Like if it was more than 3 months, yes, I would agree with you. But again, you know, it's like it's a month and 2 weeks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We'll see,
so
we'll
like
see.
That's the problem. That it's still Fallout's still on the top. Like I read something, or it's not read on TikTok today. They were saying that Fallout is still the top one of the top 10 shows being watched right now.
That's true.
You know, and it came out so like it's so loved, and everybody's talking about the Fallout show.
Yeah, the word of mouth for Fallout is nuts.
So that's what I'm saying is, it's like, so I'm saying is, you know what, so do you know, you see where I'm coming from though? Like,
I see where you're coming from.
If there was more padded room, yes, absolutely. But no, people are going to be talking about the Fallout show in a month, I guarantee you, because like they really are. I guarantee you people are still going to talk about it, especially since we're getting more information about Lord of the Rings coming up soon that they have been very, very, big about. Oh my God, Fallout's going to be talked about a lot during Comic-Con too, because of Amazon's going to be there and showcasing. So
there we go.
I think right now, like I said, it to me wouldn't be a red flag about Fallout. It would only be a red flag about Elder Scrolls, because that's the thing they promised us. They go, because last year or the year before that, they were like, yes, it's in development, but we're not saying, you don't get anything for a while.
No, but
so
they showed something. They showed the art direction.
I thought it was like blueprint stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that. Like
exactly that. So
the
next logical step is, here's what the graphics look.
I'm talking, I was talking about gameplay or a gameplay.
No, gameplay's too early. Too early for gameplay.
Gameplay or release date, that's what I'm saying is,
okay,
if
gameplay.
We see anything like that, that's the red flag.
Okay, fair.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, they mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they show Elder Scrolls, though. That's the thing, though.
No, they were already so adamant.
Because they already did last year, I believe.
Yeah, they did the in development thing. That's what it was in development. It wasn't anything else.
Well, okay.
All they did last year was like, or whenever that was, they just confirmed.
All right. That, we're on this topic a little bit longer than we should be.
I know. I'm so sorry. We're trying to convince each other of two separate things, I feel like. But anyway, okay.